Hey guys, it's Jeremy. Welcome back to another episode of the Always Loading Podcast. If it's your first time joining us, welcome. We love having you. It's our belief on this podcast that if there's someone in this world, and there probably is, that looks like you, has a similar backstory as you, had the same insecurities, number of followers, that's living a life or similar life that you want to live at some point, we have no excuse. And if you're going first, which is extremely difficult, there's other people that have had the courage to go first in their field and be unique and be the person that broke through and then be the person that made the change. So there's still a blueprint for you to follow. There's always success that we can follow. And I try and blow up all of my mistakes and then I help people live on the podcast. And that's one of these episodes. It's called the Leverage Series. I help people see their own lies and I will ask questions until I hear what their heart is actually trying to say. And I point it out to them to where it's not me helping them. It's me helping them see what's already being like yelled at from the inside, what they're already yearning for. And I can hear that. And I want you to put yourself in the seat of the person who's asking the question. And I want you to put yourself in the seat of me hearing what they're saying and be like, oh no, I can hear right here what he's really wanting to do. Because it's just the truth. Like, there's a truth inside of all of us. It's not the same, which is why, you know, getting generic help and reading a book is not always going to be helpful, because it's just a broad spectrum. I love helping people one-on-one, because what their needs are going to be completely different from yours, but there's going to be similarities, and see where you can relate, see what you can adapt in your own life. But I love these Leverage Series. He asks a lot of great questions. The first 10 minutes or so is pretty sports centric. So for those of you non-athletes who want to skip through the first part, I understand. And the last 25 minutes, there's a lot about mindset, a lot about being joyful, a lot about being present in the moment, which is something that is so incredibly difficult that I will do a podcast on at some point. But he asked really good questions, and I think this turned out into be a really valuable episode. I'm not going to name the name of the athlete, but he does play collegiate basketball. And if you ever want my help, you can reach out to me on DM. You can text me. My number's on the app, on the Anchor app. It's anywhere. I mean, I'm an open book, and I love helping. And for you guys to even trust me in the first place is the reason why I do this, because there's times when I don't want to, and then I get people that message me and just say, hey, I'm so thankful you did this. Like, I love your mindset. And it's like, okay, this is why I need to continue to share. So with that being said, enjoy this. I really think you will. All the best.
Absolutely not. Do you just feel so far from that because you're comparing yourself to the league that you're playing in? You're like, if I'm not playing well against these cats, like, how am I supposed to compete in the NBA?
Yeah.
Why are you comparing yourself to anybody, I guess?
You said, why am I?
Yeah. Because honestly, like, that's where any type of doubt comes from, is just comparing yourself to somebody else. And I guess my biggest question that I would ask you is, do you watch a bunch of highlights?
Quite a bit, yeah.
Like, when you study the game, if you want to sit down and you want to study the game, you know, are you turning on like House of Highlights and watching like James Harden drop 48 and 10 and 16, and it's the 6 minute clip on House of Highlights?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm doing, honestly.
So what I would tell you is to never do that again.
Okay.
Because if I made any change that made me ultimately confident, because even the last time that we talked, I had developed at that point like a confidence through a work ethic. Did you ever follow baseball at all?
Do I?
Did you ever? Yeah.
Nah.
Okay. There was a pitcher and he pitched for the Giants. And he won like a Cy Young, and someone interviewed him after the year, and he had one good year. And they interviewed him after the year that he won the Cy Young, and they were like, "What drives you? Like, why are you so confident?" And he goes, "I have a humongous fear of failing, and I'm terrified, to be honest. So I work incredibly hard, and but I'm still not confident. I outwork my confidence." And that was kind of who I was for so many years, is even though I was like, I was actually not confident, but I would work so hard and try to have everything perfect so that if I went on the floor, even if I wasn't confident, like, I would still make it, you know, 30% of my threes, and I would still be able to do a few things just because of the work, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And what changed this year is when I stopped watching highlights and I started really studying the game, there's two things that I started watching. First off, I was getting crushed on defense. So where are you getting beat that you're starting to doubt yourself?
Mainly just, I'm more of a pass first point guard, you know, like I can drop down and stuff. But, you know, like 2 years ago, my jumper was absolutely broken. I that wasn't even a confidence. It's just, I just couldn't shoot. I put work in. But, I'm just not the best scorer, I guess, you know. And, like, I guess that's what, I like you said, like, I need to stop comparing myself to others, but, like.
But, what, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, why do you not think you're a good scorer? I guess my question is, like, do you realize how many lay-ins and, like, little, small, mid-range buckets that, like, the best scorers get? Like, they get so many easy buckets based off of their ability to look at the basket, really. I mean, if you're a good enough ball handler, and even if you're a pass-first point guard, if you're making plays for others, Ricky Rubio still averages, like, 17 points a game.
Yeah.
He's a complete and utter pass-first point guard. But he takes every opportunity that he has as he's driving to the hole to, like, go quick, go same foot, same hand, you know, all that stuff that I know you know how to do, probably. And yeah. he just catches the defense off guard because he's so much of a pass-first. So I guess, like, when you study the game, who are you studying? When you start studying, I think what was really eye-opening for me, and I wish I had the paper in front of me right now, I was watching a full game with, and I'll send you the link because it's actually on YouTube, but it was Klay Thompson versus Devin Booker. It was the Suns versus the Warriors last year. And all I did is I kept track of the number of plays where they only spaced. They didn't do anything else but space the floor. Because I put this absolutely absurd, unrealistic expectation from watching highlights my whole life that I was supposed to be on every play and be an impact player and touch the ball all the time. And the tallies just kept coming. I was like, yep, he was just spaced on that floor. By the time I was done watching that game, I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, why did you think that you needed to be so involved? If you're a two, or even a Devin Booker, who is a combo guard, kind of more like how I play now, the dude, like, he'll literally just space sometimes. He'll hit the high post and he'll cut and, like, then he'll play off of that. And then let's see his pace when he comes around and how he changes speeds. Let's see Javon Carter is one of my favorite players in the NBA to study because he's a better defender than Beverly. Beverly has better energy, but Javon Carter is a better defender. Like, that is the biggest thing that has cleared my confidence because I watched Klay Thompson miss six straight threes and turn the ball over and was hanging his head for a minute and then finally got, like, they got went back to him on something else and he got an easy one and then he hit a three and he just kept shooting. There was no change. And I was like, dude, like, I will never watch highlights ever again. That was the day that I decided that. And I won't.
Yeah.
If someone sends me a fucking highlight clip and it's a highlight reel, I'll be like, hey, that's cool, but I won't watch it.
Yeah.
Dude, they fuck up all the time.
Like, what do you mean?
Dude,
how long did it take you to realize that, like, you, like, how long did it take you to get good at studying the game?
Dude, just sitting down with a notepad. I literally just took it. I just took it serious. I just treat it like a job. Like, I'm not getting paid for it, and I think that part's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Like, at least not right now. I will be here in another month, but, like, at the moment, I'm not getting paid for it. So, like, it's hard to discipline yourself to do that kind of stuff. But I guess I just stopped playing video games and started studying the game instead.
Yeah.
I just felt like I wasn't trying to do highlight reels anymore. Like, they happen, and I've had to, and there's certain things that just kind of come that it's, like, really cool, but those moments literally come from the flow of just the flow of the game. Like, you just happen to see something as you're catching the ball, or, like, you happen to see a potential for, like, a trail opportunity. So that it sticks out to me, like, really, really, really hardcore, and I knew what you were going to say as soon as I asked, that you watch highlights and you're a ball watcher. Like, you're being entertained. Here's so many of the problems, because a lot of the times it's not a confidence issue. It's a comparison issue, which is horrible to get into. And then it's you can learn rhythm literally from watching other people and then just being aware of it when you're on the court, like in practice, of exactly the way that they were moving and using that.
Yeah. Man, I'm actually so glad you told me that.
You know, even you think about your like the person who shoots the most on your team right now, I guarantee he misses 10 shots a game.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't faze him. He just keeps attacking.
Yeah.
So I mean, like I said, I haven't watched you play.
Do you have the courage to miss 10 times a game?
Absolutely.
Have you always had the courage to miss 10 times a game?
Fuck no.
Like, how long did... Huh?
Fuck no.
So, okay. So you're 27 right now, 28, I forgot.
29. Yeah.
And you played baseball in college, and then you realized you wanted to...
Right.
When was that, right?
I was 23.
Okay, so when you're 23, you did not have the courage to miss 15 times again.
Hell no. I didn't have the courage. Okay. I barely had the courage to take a shot.
When do you think you had the courage to do that, I guess? Like, well, was it?
Honestly,
After 6 months of practicing and going hard?
No. See, it's funny because the practice didn't really help. It didn't really help because I would label myself as like, oh, I don't need to shoot. I'm a pass-first player. I labeled myself when I basically cornered myself into being a team player because I wasn't alpha enough to take the shots and deal with it. Where the person that was going to bitch if they didn't touch the ball every three possessions, I looked at that person with envy, and I was like, man, I'll never want to be like that. Because I was like, man, that guy's just, like, bitching and complaining. But guess what? That guy gets what he wants. He gets to take 20 shots a game. He gets to be the guy.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has that player. So I got annoyed. And then I was watching, like, J.R. Smith and Jamal Crawford and all these people that just had this ultimate green light. I literally reached out to them on Twitter, and I messaged all of them, and I said, "What gave you that feeling that you have the ultimate green light?" Because I feel like when I shoot, I've labeled myself a team player. So when I do try and take something stupid, I literally get yelled at. I get benched. Like, I feel a certain type of way where I feel like I'll just pass it the next time. And then the next time I pass it, I'm open. And now I'm in this. Now I'm in the complete reverse rhythm of what I should be. I took a shot that that was tough. I don't believe in bad shots. It was a tough shot. Then I got the ball and I'm flat-footed, and I was wide open. But I didn't take it because now I'm reacting to my teammates being like, bro, like, what the fuck? And so I'd say reaching out to people and just starting to, like, kind of like, honestly, what you're doing right now is kind of similar to what I did, because I just reached out to those guys. They didn't ever get back to not all of them got back to me. One of them did. Evan Turner got back to me. But, like, just even reaching out told me that it meant enough to me that I probably should stop telling myself that I don't care if I score. And that's why that was the first question I asked you. Like, what do you mean? Like, why do you don't care for your score? That's dumb. If you put the work in, you obviously want to score. You want to. If you're playing basketball, if you work out more than an hour a day, you can't tell me you shoot 100 shots or 300 shots and be like, oh, I'm okay with passing. That's stupid. That's a lie.
Facts.
So it's just a lie. So, like, I guess that kind of helped me just to see my own lie, and I stopped saying it. So I literally didn't let myself say it anymore. So that was a good first step. And then when I would get on new teams, I constantly would get into arguments with my teammates, because I'd pull. I'd be like, you know what? Fuck it. I'd come down. I'd pull from 30. There is videos on YouTube of me airballing really big shots in, like, rec leagues. And I'm not kidding. There's a slow-mo of me that says where amazing happens, and they play that music that they used to play with commercials for the NBA. And it's me airballing a potential game-tying shot.
Mm-hmm.
People just absolutely clowning on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but those learning to deal with that and learning to trust myself and just take that fucking shot, that's where the work did help a little bit. Like I said, the mental part of, like, reaching out to people and be like, man, I am sick of this. And then getting the ball and being in that situation and be like, I've taken this shot so many times, fuck it. Like, I'm pulling this. I trust myself. And then when people were clowning on me, I was actually proud of myself at the end of the day and not embarrassed.
Yeah.
So that I think that your next steps are learning to be proud of yourself when you get pulled. And when you free yourself up to try shit in a game and it goes south and you get pulled and you start to be okay with getting pulled, you go back to that work ethic that you have, and you don't do the same dribbling drills, you don't do the same shooting drills, because you have something new you need to work on. Because now I knew, okay, when I come off that screen and I snake that shit, I gotta throw the ball out like CJ McCollum. I gotta throw the ball away from my body like Kyrie and Steph when they split the screen. Now I know how to do this drill properly because I did it in a game and failed. So, like, if I could do one thing for you, two things for you, the first thing is to stop ever fucking watching highlights forever and stop ball watching. Unless it's, like, your team. You know, I don't know if you watch the Blazers. Like, if you're watching your team and you're chilling with your family, enjoy the damn game. Have fun, because that's what this whole shit is all about. That's the reason why you want to play in the first place. And the second thing I can do for you is get comfortable getting pulled. Get comfortable having people be like, that's a fucking terrible shot. And standing up for yourself. Be like, no, it's a pull. And when I get in games now and I pull from, like, 34 and it's just something outrageous, and I have a coach be like, oh, we could get a better shot, I was looking at him and be like, that's a lay-in. And I even told my coach, I said, you want me doing stuff like that because that means I have full fucking trust in myself right now and my motor is in go mode. And now they got to guard me out there. And I just, and literally I went by my guy the next three possessions because he was so far out on me. And
yeah.
I'm not being a detriment to my own team because I'm not being like, hey, I want mine. I was like, hey, I want to fucking win.
Yeah.
But you got to be alpha dog enough in you to say this shit, to say the shit that's deep in your own heart, or you're gonna go to bed with it at night anyways. Like, fuck that, dude. Fuck that poison that's inside of you when you go to bed and you're like, God, I should have taken more shots. I should have stood up for myself. I should have said what Jimmy said, even if Jimmy's an asshole and he just says it in, like, a complete way that's, like, not helpful for the team. Find a way to say it. Like, find your voice of, like, like being a leader, especially if you're I'm playing with an OG, they'll be, that's a fucking terrible shot. And I kind of just, I feel it where I'm like, God, yeah, like, I understand why he's mad, but I have to have, if I can't have the courage to take that in a fucking open gym, I'm not going to have the courage to take that in a game in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
I got to be able to live with the consequences.
Yeah.
So those are those two things. And actually, if I would go one step further, because since I've talked to you, I've developed a lot of players, and if I asked you right now, like, do you have a go-to move? Do you have one?
No. I mean, like, right now, it would be Hezzy pull-up, but, like, but, I think that, like, that's probably my go-to, but, man, I don't think, it hasn't, I guess, like, that is my go-to move, but it has not been, I have not been, it's go-to to a pull, but it has not been going in.
Right. Man, like, if you...
That's been my go-to my whole life.
That's definitely that's the third thing I would say then, is go work on that, just fucking that, for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the end of a workout.
Yeah.
Like, literally, just that. It's a go-to move, so when you're on the court and you feel like you need a bucket and you're 0 for 2 and you're starting to feel like any type of way on a court, you always feel armed of, oh, I can get a bucket like this. That's why James Harden has that. That's why Chris Paul has his little sidestep. I can literally name the player. Here, watch. I'll do this. What is Luka Doncic's signature move?
Is it a step back?
What's Damian Lillard's signature move?
Side step to his left.
Yeah, or right. Or right. Super quick. What's LaMarcus Aldridge's signature shot?
I don't know.
Oh, it's like a 20-footer. Like a little fadeaway. 20-footer. Like, he's probably taken 7 million of those. Okay. Where does Kawhi Leonard like to get his buckets when it's
mid-pull?
Yeah, like 8 feet from the basket, and he shoots it with a fall away with his right foot drifted towards the rim.
Man, that's crazy. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
They all have signature moves because everybody knows what Chris Paul is going to do when he has the ball. All the best scorers have it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, if you don't have at least one that makes you feel, like, ridiculously comfortable to get a bucket.
Yeah.
But it's an art, man. And if you don't take – if you're just in there aimlessly shooting versus, like, taking a fall away to the right at a 10-foot on the right side and then a fall away to the left at a 10-foot on the left side and seeing what difference the balance is, if you're having someone pass you shitty passes so you can work on hard catches – but not losing the ball in your hand when you're picking it up. It's difficult to pick the ball up and not be adjusting the basketball as you're going to shoot it. Like, dude, there's so many assets to this game that make it so much fun and so beautiful that you don't have time. You don't even have time to be nervous and think about shit because you got, like, there's just work to be done. And in fact, even just talking about this, like, I'm about to go to the gym myself and I'm excited because I got more work to do on certain very specific things at set times of, like, man, for the first 5 minutes when I get to the gym, I literally just work on catching the ball at difficult angles and getting it to a shot pocket without having the ball being moving too much in my hands.
Yeah. Do you find it hard just working out by yourself all the time? Or do you get somebody to, like, do that for you, like throw you a shit pass?
I've had a negative attitude about it at times because I get annoyed, but it there's a part of it that fuels me too, of like all you motherfuckers that said you were gonna be here, like, so there's a part of it that fuels me, that makes me like work harder, and then I have a gym that's like super small, that one that I go to that has like those really small walls.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that like on my lives, like, because that helps, because I'll literally bring 2 or 3 basketballs in there, so I'm not running all over the court. Because when you got one basketball and you're in a gym that's big and you miss a shot and you're trying to work on something and you got to chase that down, I got all the empathy in the world because that is a fucking...
Yeah.
And if you're trying to be good, 90% of the time you're in a gym by yourself.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that you can work on when you're by yourself. And if you want to work on stuff like... If I wanted to work on just, like, catches at different angles, like, I'd just go over to the wall on a big gym and not really use the hoop. I would just work on just catching because it's super important. Because that, yeah, honestly, that's where a lot of missed shots come from on a catch and shoot is just not having the ball right.
Yeah. Just, you're right. Honestly, I'm lying to myself by telling myself that I don't care about scoring on a pass first. Like, I shoot too many shots to not be scoring as much. Yeah.
You set the precedent at the beginning of the relationship of what people will expect when they meet you. And so when you join a team, you know, I'm a pass first guy, I'm going to do the roll things, you know, I'm going to dive on the floor, I'm going to be a rah-rah guy on the bench. Like, when you, it's so funny. When I work with people, I literally tell them, like, don't be a fucking rah-rah guy. Don't be a prima donna. Like, if you're going to compete, compete. But, like, learn to be the person that you really didn't like. Because the person that you didn't like is actually the person that you wanted to be, which is kind of a prima donna scorer. That has all the flash, that gets all the offers, that looks at a ball that's loose in the first quarter of a random, like, pickup game or a random, exhibition game is like, nah, it's not worth it. I work way too hard, and they need me to score 35. They don't need me to get hurt.
Yeah.
And of all the things that I would probably take off that list, it's probably diving in certain situations, obviously. But, like, I don't know, just learning to be that guy, because it's all bullshit. Like, someone else just isn't as afraid to suffer the consequences of missing 12 times. But if you shoot all the times that you do, you fucking want to score. You play the game. Every situation, like, that I have an answer, like, for every question.
I've just went through it, dude,
by myself, and so when I go through shit, like, I pay attention of why it works, why it doesn't, where I'm lying to myself, and where I'm being a little bitch. Like, honestly, just that, the honesty of me being a soft ass bitch is the biggest thing that ever happened to me, and it helped me, like, because then I'm able to tell other people of where I failed without judging myself again. Like, I'm able to, like, and I guarantee whatever someone's going through, I've gone through it on the court, and that's why it's like, it has nothing to do with me, like, having a positive outlook on it. If you would have asked me these questions, you know, you asked me some of these similar questions 2 years ago when we first had this conversation, and I had good answers for it because I was going through that at the time, and now it's 2 years later. And so I've evolved over 2 years to be like, hey, yes, that stuff was right, and it was good information, and it was what I could help you to the level that I was at the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And then now I've literally, a lot of these changes have happened in the last 6 months in the off season, and it's why I go super quiet. You know, you text me, you're like, oh, you know, does that mean the podcast is going to drop soon again? It's like, yeah, it is, because in those last 6 months, I fucking pay attention. But I also pay attention to, like, relationships. I pay attention to, like, when I'm not present with my friends. I pay attention to, like, when I'm anxious about a game. And if I'm ever anxious about a game, it means I'm not doing something in my real life that means enough.
Yeah.
Like, it means I don't give a shit about, like, my life. And, like, right now with, like, the podcast and, like, trying to market myself on TikTok and, like, doing all the stuff that I'm doing and I'm having a ton of fun, I am not in the gym right now. I'm enjoying my life. I'm talking to you at the moment, and I'm trying to be the best, like, advice giver that I could give to help somebody out. I'm not in the gym. Like, you're not in the gym right now. You literally can't score a bucket. You might have ideas of, like, okay, this is what I want to do tomorrow, and, like, this is like the drills that I want to do, and maybe I want to attack in a different way this way, and this is who I want to be tomorrow. And I want you to like sit on it and think on it and feel the emotions of like, what would it look like if I talked up? What would I be like if I was in a timeout and I haven't touched the ball in 5 possessions and I go Tim Duncan and I just kind of give my other guard the look and be like, hey, I'm about to do some shit. I'm about to take over and I'm about to go make some plays. Like, what would that look like? And I want you to feel it. But then after that moment, I want you to go do whatever the fuck you're doing. Like if you're chilling with your friends, I want you to chill with your friends. If you're studying the game, I want you to study the game. Like, if you're eating fucking lunch, you eat lunch. And, like, you just hang out and, like, you have a good time and you leave basketball where it's at. Like, once you start, like, living in the present and the past of, like, you're sitting right now thinking, like, if we weren't on this conversation and you were chilling in your room and you were thinking about the past game, and you're like, this, and then you're like, fuck, and then you start thinking about the next game or the next practice, and you're this, that, you're not even in the future. Like, what if there is a God? What is he thinking right then? He's like, man, this guy isn't even appreciating his life right now. He's worried about the past, and he's worried about the future, and he's hanging out, and he's missing opportunities. His friend knocked on the door and was like, hey, bro, I'm about to go down and get some dinner. You want to come? And you're like, oh, no, I'm good. Like, because you're in your phone fucking head, and you don't even want to be around the group because, like, you're like, man, I've been playing bad. If you can't forgive yourself and move on from that shit and live in the present, like, you're not going to be able to live in the present once the game time shows up anyways.
Yeah.
Like, there's layers to this shit, but, like, a lot of it comes from just, like, learning how to live in the present. And when you're in the gym, like, be in the gym. And, like, I guess if there was one other thing I would say, it would be, like, I would stop saying I'm going to do something. Like if... And you haven't, which I really appreciate. But a lot of times when I'm talking to someone, they'll be like, okay, yeah, tomorrow, for sure, like, I'm going to dribble. Like, I'm going to do so much more, and I'm going to focus on this. Like, no, I don't want people to say that. I don't want people to declare something. I want them to say, we'll see. Tomorrow we'll show up. We'll see. We'll see how I feel. We'll see. We'll just see. Because if you focus on hey, yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow when I get to the gym. And then you just go and live about living your life. When you're at the gym, you're going to be focused, and you're not going to be focused on the past. You're not going to be focused on the future. You're going to be focused on the small little details of how to catch the ball. You're going to focus on the small little details of where am I going to get, where can I get more shots, and like, how can I be more aggressive, and like, where can I, like, how was my footwork on my signature move? And then you're there in the present moment for like an hour, hour and a half, and you're super focused. When you're super focused for an hour and a half, you're not thinking about the next game. You're not thinking about the past, and then you just leave the gym and you leave basketball at the gym.
Yeah.
I've gone through all of this shit, man. I've felt it. It sucks. It's an awkward feeling because you just feel like you're off rhythm. But, like, there's so many other perspectives to take. One, yeah, I just started the season in November, so I dropped one, and I think the other one dropped.
So Always Loading, or?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And I think the other one I finished today. I don't know if I published it or not. I published it. I just haven't marketed it out that it's like out yet.
Okay, cool. So what are you trying to market yourself on TikTok for basketball or?
No, not really. Just honestly, the more people that know about me, the better chance I have it at like living the life that I want to have. Like, they could have an uncle. It just gives me hope. Like, man, honestly, that was like the podcast I did today, or the one I dropped today. It's just, if I do a really good job on something, I feel an immense amount of hope afterwards that it could potentially do something positive for my life. And if it doesn't, it doesn't matter, because within the next hour or something, I'm working on something else that could have a big potential impact in my life. And then it's just and then it's turning the wheel, and then you have 8 things going at once that could all potentially be impacting your life positive. And then it's hard to be pessimistic when you have so many good things going on at once.
Yeah.
I'm optimistic about my podcast and like all the feedback that I got. I'm optimistic about speaking someday and like making a difference. I'm optimistic about like TikTok and the amount of followers and the like the impact that I've been having, and even just making people laugh and being better at like just being goofy. Like I don't have any inhibitions on this, and I always have. I've always been nervous to like do this kind of stuff, and it's making me a better person because I'm not as scared to try and make jokes or dance and like learn these shuffle dances. Bro, I'm having the fucking time of my life learning this stuff. Stuff's just helpful, and I just feel positive. Like it doesn't have to be for basketball. Like when I'm in the gym, that's when I'm gonna be networking. Like while I'll be in California, I'll network for sure. But that only comes from me just being there and playing well, or making a good impact and having fun, and then people be like, "Yo, hey, you want to hoop on Wednesday night?" Like, yeah, sure. Like, you know how that is. You go in a gym, you play well, or you have fun, or you're just a good player. People, they'll ask you to come play somewhere else, or they're playing your city leagues or something like that.
Yeah. So how long did it take you to learn how to like live in the present moment? Because I feel like that's one of the hardest life lessons, like for me. Because literally, like, I'm always thinking, like, you know, what do I need to do this, or I need to do that, or like thinking about something in my past. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Or have you always lived in the present moment, I guess?
No, hell no. See, yeah, like I said, that's why the podcast is always loading, because absolutely not. And even now, like, there's still times where I'll catch myself. But I think it's just being aware. The first time I wasn't nervous on a basketball court at all was when I was in Denmark. And I was on the train. I had already landed there, and I was on the train, and this girl was sitting across from me. And she was, like, asking me where I was going. I was like, oh, I don't even know. And she's like, wait, you're from the States. You're in Denmark on a train to some city, and you don't even know where you're going. I was like, no, I don't really care. And she's like, what the fuck? And she literally started, like, losing her mind. I just couldn't understand. She was like, what do you mean you don't know? She's like, what did you pack? I was like, oh, some basketball stuff, some warm clothes. I figured it was going to be, like, kind of cold, but I don't know. I was like, I just don't care. And she's like, why don't you care? She's like, can I look? She's like, I have to look. And she took my phone and she took my ticket because I couldn't read Danish and it was all in Danish anyways. And she took my ticket and she's like, okay, you're going to Lemby. And she started trying to tell me. I was like, no. I was like, I don't need to know.
Yeah.
And she's like, why? I was like, because I'm just on the train right now. I was like, I'm not in the town. And she's like, what? I was like, look, I can't be in that city yet, and so I don't want to be there yet. And so it was like, people always talk about like jet lag and how hard it is to like travel and have and change time zones because it was like a 10-hour difference. And like that entire week, so this I would say this is when it started, was that entire week people were coming up to me and I was really focused on stuff. I was working on the podcast. I was in a really good groove. This is last year. And people kept coming up to me like, dude, you're leaving to Denmark in like 7 days. Are you fired up or what? And I was like, no. They're like, what? What do you mean? Aren't you excited? I was like, dude, I have so much shit going on today that I'm excited about. I haven't even thought about Denmark. And when I finally got to Denmark and when I had that conversation with that girl on the train, I was like, man, I am 100,000%. I've been in the moment for the last like 2 weeks. Because I don't give a shit about anything that's happening except for what I'm doing right now. And then we got to the first game, which was about a week after that, and I was sitting there in warm-ups, and this kid came up to me, and one of my teammates, he's like, bro, you fired up or what? And I was like, dude, I love warm-ups. Like, don't mess this up for me. He kind of laughed. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, I love warm-ups. Like, I'm not world. You got all your swag on. Like, you're going through the layup lines. You're getting prepared. I was going through all my routines that I'd been going through, and I was so in the moment in warmups. I wasn't in the court thinking about where I was going to get my shots. I wasn't like thinking about the I wasn't thinking about anything but warmups. And then I got in the game, and it was the first time where the game felt slow, and I saw like where the guy's high foot was, and I would just go, and I just literally just went out in out and went and scored a lay-in on my first possession. And I looked over the bench, and they all had that look of like, this is going to be trouble. Like, he's going to kill these guys. But it had nothing to do with anything except for I was so focused on what was in front of me, and that was it. And even at halftime, I had like 20, I think I had 18 at halftime. and my teammates were trying to like hype me up, and I was like, I was trying. At that point, that was when it was hard for me, because I was trying not to get mixed up in the hype, because I was pretty pumped for myself, because I was like, man, I'm in the moment right now. But you can't do that, or you get out of the moment. But I was in the zone, and I like felt that, and then I kind of felt myself drift a little bit in like the second half, and so I like wrote about it that night, because I had a good second half in certain moments. And then I had like a little lapse early in the third quarter after they were kind of hyping me up. But then I was good. And then after that, I was like, man, this all stems from this last like 2 weeks of me just living in the moment.
Yeah.
And like not ever. What I do is I'm really aware of certain things that I never want to say again. And I think that's the biggest thing that's helped me. Like just like I'm never going to watch highlights again. I'll never say I'm going to do something or I will. Because I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm going to do when I get to the gym tonight. I'd like to do legs. I'd like to do a few things, but I don't know how I'm going to feel. It's just a feel thing. Like, I'm just going to go and I'm going to work out and I'm going to be focused on whatever I'm focused on when I get there. But, like, I don't know. I just won't say that to myself. And I also will never say I'm excited about something. It's just, I'm not. I'm doing what I'm doing right now. So I think, yeah, that's what I would pay attention to. Just pay attention to what you say out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I need to. Especially the we'll see part, because I'm always telling people, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go off. I'm going to be.
Oh, yeah, don't do that. Fuck the hype monkeys, dude. Hype monkeys don't do anything for you.
Yeah. I know saying that's bad. I just never knew what to say beside, you know what I mean?
Right, because you know what they want to hear.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all right, bet, facts, bro. Like, yeah, I got you. Like, yeah, of course that's what they want to hear.
Exactly. I knew that was bad the whole time, but yep. I didn't know what else to say.
I mean,
yeah, we'll see is perfect, honestly.
It really is. It covers all the bases. It covers all the motherfucking bases. You can be like, oh, we'll see, man. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can keep focused on what you're focused on.
Yeah.
Even if when your teammate comes up to you, because I've thought about all this shit. Even if your teammate comes up to you like in the locker room, it's like, bro, you ready? Like sometimes I'll just be like, yep, and I'll just leave it at that. I'll be like, hey, like we'll see. Let's go have some fun. I just keep it as simple as fucking possible. Because hype is not going to help me. It's not going to help me score 20. Like, it's so crazy because people want, like, people love the hype and they love, like, there's two sides of it. There's people that are super negative and there's people that are super hyped, and both of them are just a fucking story. They don't help. They're not going to help you score. If your mom texts you before a game is like, I love you, you're awesome, like, good luck, that still doesn't help you score a fucking bucket.
Yeah.
Like, hey, thanks, mom. Exactly. Appreciate it. It doesn't help.
Yeah.
Like, so people get so focused on like the negative of like, oh man, like I'm afraid of fucking it up, and what your voice is, because your voice is telling yourself something. And even if your voice is like, man, I'm gonna go ham tonight, because even Kobe, when he scored 81, he literally just kind of looked at someone and he goes, you know, I feel pretty good. He goes, I like the energy that I came into the building with. And all he's like, all I did is I told the trainer that I just feel good tonight.
Yeah.
That's it. He didn't say I'm gonna drop 60. He just said I feel good.
Yeah.
So if someone asks like, hey man, like you about to go ham or what? Be like, yeah, I feel good. Like, we'll see.
Yeah.
Don't put on unnecessary pressure on yourself that.
Yeah.
And it comes from the wrong source. It comes from the hype source.
Yeah.
You can be hyped after you hit a fucking big ass shot.
Yeah.
A big ass shot.
Yeah.
That's when you can be hyped.
Yeah. But other than that, it's just late.
Other than that, it's just a fucking story for your ego.
Yeah. Yeah. You talked about Tyler Herro and stuff. Do you ever, like, is it ever weird to you just, like, studying people that are younger than you?
I don't care. He's calm. That's all I care about. He appears to be calm and aggressive on the court.
Yeah. And is that like how, what you're trying to be or what you are?
No, I just appreciate the way that he spaces the floor. I appreciate the way that his pace, it is super constant. It's aggressive, but it's not, it doesn't, it sits at like a 3 and not a 5. So it's not like Russell is constantly at like a 5, and then he'll pull it back to a 2 because he's so athletic, and he'll go right back to a 5 and just blow by people.
Yeah.
But Tyler Herro, he plays at about a 3. He has the ability to go to a 4. And I appreciate what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so I just watch what he does. But I like studying Devin. I like studying Jimmy Butler because he's a really good leader. He makes plays for others. I love doing that. I do love making plays for others. But I want to make a play for them. It's not a pass first mentality. It's a playmaker mentality.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
If you go off and you have 13 assists or 13 even hockey assists are so cool. It's not gonna show up in the stat book, but it's gonna keep your ass on the court and it's gonna look good. It's gonna look really good as a team.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's me again. It sounds like I got cut off there at the end, but basically we just kind of wrapped it up, the two of us. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. If you haven't had the chance to, it would mean a lot whether you liked it or not, to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you might be listening to this. And like I said before, if you ever want to just reach out and ask me a question or give me some feedback personally, I'm always trying to grow too. Like, you know, I understand that this is a form of entertainment for some people as well as a place to learn and just to help keep fostering a positive mindset and a positive atmosphere. So thank you so much for all the messages that you guys sent out last week after episode 1 and episode 2. There's people that I haven't heard from in such a long time, and to hear messages from you guys, means a lot. And so anyways, with that being said, I say that a lot. All the best and much love from California, and we will be talking with you next week. Bye-bye.